You make your plans. God directs your steps, yes? Well, let me begin our time in the Word this morning by reading just a very short but very powerful article I came across this last week. I'd actually seen it years earlier, but I'd forgotten that in 1555, Nicholas Ridley, R-I-D-L-E-Y, a former bishop of London, was burned at the stake in Oxford because of his beliefs. On the night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to be of assistance and comfort. Nicholas declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly as ever he did in his life. Because he knew the peace of God, he could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. That hit me just like it. What's that?
I said, I wonder if it actually worked out that way.
Well, no, he lost his life.
Well, yeah. But
did he asleep? Right. Yeah. I don't know. But that was his heart. And all I know is when I read that, I was convicted greatly because it takes, I don't know about you, but I've never been in prison at all, let alone overnight waiting my execution. And it just doesn't take very often. I must say that I'm a person that does not lose sleep very often, so I'm grateful for that. But I just am challenged by the depth of his relationship and recognition of the peace of God. And so this morning, instead of ending, actually we'll end the message with a blessing as well, but I thought I would begin our message with a blessing. Would that be okay? May God, in fact, hold your hands out like this, if you would. May God bless you with his peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Short blessing. May God bless you with his peace. I was remembering just that, just the significance of peace. And we use the word sometimes so loosely. The shalom, of course, is the Hebrew word. Irene is the Greek. But it means far more than just the absence of war or hostility. It's not just an absence of certain circumstances, but it's the presence, it's really just the presence of God and his reign, and just that confident assurance that if God is present and he is in control, the peace of God, may it rule and reign in our hearts. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we're gonna reference Philippians 4 in a bit as well. But pray this three-word prayer. Short blessing, short prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. And Lord, that's my prayer. That Lord, if no one hears the word I speak this morning, if all of my words just fall 2 feet in front of me, Lord, my prayer is that there would be an increased sense of your presence, an increased sense of your presence these days. Lord, that each one here would be filled to overflowing. Literally, the glory of you, O Lord, the glory of the Lord, filling each temple, each heart, each life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, 9/11. Remember it well? Remember where you were? Every one of us. In fact, we were at the back of the church, several of us guys. I'm not sure if who all was there? I just remember Kevin and Joey Sullivan were there. We were several of us just back in the, it was a Tuesday morning, the back of the church here praying. One of them got word that what had happened. And then later that day, Josh was had a soccer game. They were actually quite surprised it wasn't canceled, but his coach, Coach Levy, this would be back before your day, Aaron. Coach Levy, he told Josh, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and he said to Josh, he says, every one of you will remember exactly the events that you were, you know, what you were doing today. And Josh says, yeah, I remember we played, and you know, Karen and I went there up to Catlin Gable High School and lost 1-0. So, but I just want to fast forward to 2020, and not to minimize significant events of these past two decades, and believe what you will, whether the church is in the last days or not, you know, before Christ's return, but I firmly believe that God is preparing His church. God is stirring His church. God is building, strengthening His church. I believe also God is disrupting His church. Now, I'm not saying that the pandemic is, I'm saying I believe God is disrupting His church. You know, what if, just think about this for a second. What if more crises originate in heaven than we realize? Shall I go on? consider just a few things, a few examples. You know, when God, for example, when God delivered Israel from Egypt, why would He lead them directly to the Red Sea only to be trapped? God, knowing what He knew, knowing that Pharaoh and his army would come and they would be trapped. Why would God do that? When God had Samuel, I'm just kind of skipping through some so many examples. When God had Samuel anoint King David, as He anointed him as king, why would He then leave David left waiting, say it that way, have him left waiting 7 years before he would be crowned? And during those 7 years, in many cases, running for his life. Another example, when Jesus heard Lazarus was sick, we're familiar with that, sick and dying, why would He delay His return? Well, and of course, we know that the delay allowed Lazarus to not only die, but be buried, and it was, you know, 3-4 days later that Jesus showed up. And of course, the answer, Jesus answered that one so very clearly, says it was so that the glory of God would be revealed. So I ask again, what if more crises originates from heaven than we realize? What if God is not only disrupting the land, but the church? What if God is shaking things up, not to destroy, but to restore order, or more importantly, to reveal His glory? What if? Now, am I suggesting, let me walk through a few things here. Am I suggesting God brought down the Twin Towers? Am I suggesting COVID began in a lab in heaven? Am I suggesting that God brought about the death of a black man in Minnesota? Am I suggesting that God arranged all of this to coincide with a somewhat, if not very volatile, national election? And if that's not enough, is God arranging the whole mask vaccination mandate? And the list can go on and on. And I'll say quickly, no, I'm not saying that or suggesting that. No more than I believe that God arranged the death of Lazarus. But I am declaring that God is our great Redeemer. And that He is a God that doesn't miss a single opportunity to turn something intended for evil to reveal the glory of God.
Amen.
Which is the overriding theme, of course, in all of the Bible. Yes? The revelation of the glory of God, the advancement of His kingdom. And so I didn't just start the message with Nicholas Ridley. I hold him up as an example that in the midst of all that's going on, that we would be a people that would not allow the circumstances and the Red Sea that we face, the delays that we face, the extreme delays, as in Lazarus' case, that we would at the same time be able to embrace the peace of God in every circumstance.
Amen.
I'll say it this way. If we have the peace of God, if we have an unstoppable gospel, if we have inherited a kingdom that can't be shaken, let's act like it.
Amen.
Let's live like it. Let it be visible if that's what we truly believe. If we have the Holy Spirit, we are more than conquerors. Yes? If we have distress, or should I say, when we have distress, let peace rule and reign. Let the peace of God rule. The title of this morning's message is One Thing After Another.
Always something.
Always a fly. Oh. Oh, you know, no, skip you. I mean, I guess you can just click. I showed them last week. I forgot that they were still on there. Yeah, let's just start there. Yeah, let's just start right here. Okay, where was I at? It just seems like one thing after another, yes? So I'll say it this way. If it seems like, if life, and it does sometimes, it just seems like, man, it's just one thing. Have you heard yourself say that? Maybe like this morning? When it seems like just one thing after another, here's my declaration. Listen for the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. Jumping into the end of Hebrews chapter 12, make very sure that you never refuse to listen to God when He speaks. That says it pretty clearly. Make very sure that you never refuse to listen to God when He speaks. For the God who spoke on earth from Sinai is the same God who now speaks from heaven. Say that, now speaks. Now speaks from heaven. God who now speaks from heaven. Those who heard Him speak His living word on earth found nowhere to hide. So what chance is there for us to escape if we turn our backs on God and refuse to hear His warnings as He speaks from heaven? The earth was rocked at the sound of His voice from the mountain, but now He has promised, once and for all, I will not only shake the systems of the world, but also the unseen powers in the heavenly realm. I will not only shake the systems of the world, but also the unseen powers in the heavenly realm. And now this phrase, once and for all, clearly indicates the final removal of things that are shaking, that is, the old order, so that only what is unshakable will remain, a differentiating between the eternal and the temporal, the visible and the invisible. We see a lot of things visible, but our eyes tend to be only focused, for obvious reasons, on the visible, and yet it's the invisible that is what is eternal and what can't be shaken. Since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, we should act like it. My paraphrase. We should act like it, that is, be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights His heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe, for our God is a holy, consuming or devouring fire. I needed to take a breath after reading that. I just think that, again, the example of here's a guy facing death, facing execution, and it's clear that he saw the invisible, that he was a part of an unshakable kingdom, and all appearances, I mean, we didn't have his sleep monitored, but we see that his intention was to act like he was a part of an unshakable kingdom, and that God was in charge, and that he literally surrendered. He laid down his life, which of course is what Jesus did for us. And it's an example of. Here our Sunday school kids are. God is clearly helping His church, is He not? Helping His church to see the difference between the temporal and the eternal. Yes? Are our eyes open and allowing and realizing that the things that, you know, part of the problem is some of the things that get shaken in our life, we don't want them to be shaken. We kind of want to hold on to some of those things. And yet, God's letting us know that there are some things that need to be removed. And when we talk about the things of the world, I think that sometimes we don't realize that, you know, as we are part of the church, that there are things that even in the church life that are too much in line with the world, just the way that we regard the unexpected, the unknown, allowing anxiety and fear, and then getting caught up in opinions or arguments or. Those kinds of, and the list just goes on and on. Unforgiveness, and instead of allowing God to, you know, shake and remove the self-centeredness, the selfishness, the bitterness, the things that we are rights, the things that we hold on to, and the Lord is also helping the world to be confronted with their need for a Savior, and so that's. That can be is just an example of how the need for us to turn the things that shake us to the core to bring us to our knees and say, okay, first of all, Lord, help me to hear what You're speaking, what You're saying, not just to the neighbors so I can tell them what's what, but what You're saying to me, the things that You want to change in my life, the things that I'm holding too tightly, the things of this world that I've got too tight of a grip or a grasp on, and allowing God to always be keeping us, our hearts soft and willing to let Him lead. I say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord. I'll follow you all the days of my life. Oh, but you want me to go there? You want me to talk with this person? You want me to give this away? It's now. So often my prayer is, Lord, are you sure about this? And the Lord says, no, I'm the one that's sure. You're the one that is not so sure. And so there's just that constant challenge that we're not just a people that say you are Lord, but that our lives demonstrate that He is Lord, that He is leading, and that we are letting Him fill our hearts with His Spirit, and that we're looking not to. I'm so convicted about how consumed I am by myself and what I want, rather than allowing God to show me what He wants and what other people need. And that's what God is allowing some of the things that are shaking our comfort zones to and allow His Lordship, His glory, to be revealed. Oh, that we would waste opportunities that God has for His glory to be revealed. God, I don't even want to know about the times I have squelched or I've hidden Your glory because I was more concerned about what I wanted and what my plans were, my schedule. So I want to close with the scripture out of Philippians 4. You know, in fact, I want to read out of, I wasn't sure if I was going to share this verse, but I want to show another example in 2 Chronicles 15, where God is doing some shaking, some troubling, we'll call it that. Now the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the prophet, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you when you are with Him. And if you seek Him, He will let you find Him. But if you abandon Him, He will abandon you." For many days, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, God of Israel, and they sought Him, and He let them find Him. In those times, there was no peace for him who went out or him who came in, because many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Sound familiar? Nation crushed by nation and city by city. For God troubled them with every kind of distress. And the last word Azariah spoke, but you be strong. And I say that to you, church, be strong and do not lose courage, for there is reward for your work. And as I read this last verse out of Philippians chapter 4, and when it seems like it's just one thing after another, and someone can say, well, you just need to let peace rule and reign. Just I haven't had someone, my pastor years ago, I was, long story, but I'm tempted to tell it, but I was pretty upset, and my mouth wasn't saying much, but my eyes were saying a whole lot. And the pastor comes up to me, and he's put his hand on my shoulder, and says, "Peace, brother." And I literally felt the peace of God just, you know, just like I had to take a breath, and it was like I was just breathing in. And yet it's easy to say that to people, "Peace, brother," but it's only the Holy Spirit that can minister that peace. And sometimes in our, when we're by ourselves, just hearing the voice of the Lord saying, peace, receive my peace. Be cheerful. Keep your mind on things that combats peace is the recognition, the indictment, if you will, that our minds are not set on things above. That's at least that's for me, is when I realize that I am minus the very peace, the very thing I need, is because my mind is focused on things right here instead of things above. And so that's why Paul is saying, in every season of life, rejoice. The NIV or the King James says, let your joy overflow and let gentleness, even in the midst, let gentleness be seen in every relationship. For our Lord is nearer than you think or realize sometimes. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated instead in prayer throughout each day. And the thing that prayer does is it, you know, I mean, who are you praying to? God in heaven. I mean, God right here. So it lifts, you know, when we pray, it helps us lift our eyes, change the focus onto things above. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. It's the message that says, allow your worries to be shaped into prayers, or shape your worries into prayers. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. When I'm in the midst, you know, when we're in the midst of what feels like sometimes all hell breaking loose, to coin a phrase, or when things just seem so overwhelming, it is challenging, and yet that's the time that we need to, okay, Lord, let your voice be heard. Let me hear your voice, for I will turn, I will shape the things I'm facing into prayers. In fact, let's do that. Lord, we realize that even in the face of when it seems like it's just one thing after another, Lord, we realize that we have so much to be grateful for, and that there are so many other things that we can choose to focus our hearts. Lord, would you help us as we navigate through these days, Lord, that we would not react to the shaking, but allow, Lord, so when we say, come, Lord Jesus, or come, Holy Spirit, Lord, that we really are inviting your rule and reign in our lives. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. Lord, keep your word ever in our hearts. Lord, it's your word saying it right back to us, that we would keep, that we would daily be in your word, and that we would allow your peace to rule and reign in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to pray that, we've focused on that that I'm actually planning to come the beginning of October to do another series on the Holy Spirit. But I just encourage you that that you would begin your day, that throughout your day, that you would end your day just breathing that. Come just and seeing what how God would answer that. Just that invitation. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, sweet Spirit. Guide my life today. Open my eyes today. Make me sensitive to you today. Fill me today with your Spirit. And just let that be just a continual theme. And it's so easy to get, you know, involved in, and there, our lives are busy. But even in the midst of that, trusting that the Holy Spirit would just bring to mind, keep breathing in me. Keep breathing in my Spirit. Keep breathing in me. Let's stand. So I couldn't help it. The blessing I want to share, to speak to you, comes from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace. Say that with me. Perfect peace. Perfect peace as you trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with His super abundance until you radiate with hope and peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't think we're any snacks this afternoon, but you're free to fellowship, of course, even without snacks and goodies. So enjoy your day. Bless you all.